Psalm 18, 1 says, I love you, Lord. I love you. But let me read something else for you first. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him. The dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot arrows and scattered the enemies, great bolts of lightning, and routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundations of the earth laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord. He angry. That's an angry passage, isn't it? I mean, there's a ferocious emotion going on there. And in this very descriptive emotional passage, I mean, everyone is running for cover, right? I mean, reading about this, we're like, okay, God's got his angry hat on now. And you know that's the way that people view the Lord, right? They view him as sometimes he's really great, and other times he loses his temper. It's not true. God's faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He loves you and he hates what hurts you. He loves his own glory, and he knows his own glory is best for you. And so the skies proclaim it. And so you have this moment here where God is angry. It looks like it's a duck and cover kind of moment. But can I just show you in Psalm 18 why he's angry? If you were to look at verse 6, which is right before what I read to you a moment ago, here's why you see such a ferocious response. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. And from his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. And then, that's when you read, the earth trembled and quaked and the foundations of the earth shook. And then you get into all of that passage. So what we just discover is that God's ferocious response is in response to the cry of you and me and his people. When his people cry out, when his people call out to the Lord, our cries go to his ears. From his temple, he hears our cries and responds to us with a ferocious response as a deliverer. That's who God is. He's a deliverer. You know, we celebrate Independence Day in a couple of days, and I hope you celebrate well. It's worth celebrating. But one of the things that independence reveals to us, this experiment now of not quite 250 years, we can see on the news every night that independence reveals that we need more than independence. That independence by itself isn't good enough. What we need is not just independence, but a deliverer, right? Independence reveals a couple of things, well, a lot of things, but here's a couple. One is that freedom from tyranny, like a tyrannical government or tyrannical laws or some ruthless rulership, freedom from tyranny is only partial freedom if you're still a tyrant yourself, right? And see, that's the problem because, you know, as much as we respect and honor our founding fathers and all of those revolutionaries and everyone since who has bravely stood up against tyranny and has fought and has died for our freedom, the problem is in all of war fighting and ocean crossing and law writing, we all still carry a tyrant with us. There is a tyrant inside every single one of us, namely self, right? Self is the worst tyrant of all. In fact, tyrannical rule, which we try to escape, is really just self with power, right? The more power that any one self has, then the more tyranny the people around that self experience. And so we run and flee and try to escape that tyranny, not realizing that all the way we're bringing our own tyrant with us. Because we all have a self, and self wants self first, always. Self wants to be first. Self wants to have the best. Self wants to crawl all over other people to get the highest. Self wants to be comfortable. Self wants to be happy all the time. Self wants to be top, and self wants control of others. Self is a tyrant. And we can run from tyranny, and we can resist tyranny in its various forms, but independence from it reveals that we still bring a tyrant with us. And we need more than just independence. We need a deliverer. Someone who can deliver us from ourself. Another thing that independence reveals to us is that liberty is not the same as destiny. In other words, we can be free, but free to do what? Free to go where? Free to become what? And as you watch the news again, you see basically the stories of people trying to work that out. They're still enslaved to the tyrant self, and they're free and they have independence, but that freedom and independence is leading towards more self. And so it's a disaster. We are a mess. That's why we have such a difficulty with all of our laws and our law writing and the process, and it gets all angry, and the country gets divided, and we have such a hard time with it, big disagreements and everything. It's because we're trying to figure out how to deal with this in ourselves and in other people. We try to set up the laws that lead people to do what we think is good and not to do what we think is bad. And then, of course, people disagree with those, and so they set ones on top of them, and it all becomes a real big mess really quickly. That's why we have the laws that we have. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a law in North Carolina that says that you're not allowed to steal kitchen grease. Now, we all agree you shouldn't steal anything, right? If it doesn't belong to you, don't take it. But don't we have to question, like, why did that specific law have to be written? At some point, that was somebody's thing. And they had to write a law, no, you may not steal kitchen grease. In Connecticut, a law that says for a pickle to count as a pickle, it has to bounce when you drop it. Why does that law exist? At some point, there must have been some awful feud about what constitutes a pickle. And thank God for the government who stepped in and explained to us what is truly and truly is not a pickle. Our laws exist because we're trying to steer these ridiculous situations that we get into, which we get into because we're driven by self, and self is a tyrant. And independence reveals that. But we have a deliverer. And I want to tell you about our deliverer. For one, he's personal. Our deliverer is a personal deliverer. Listen to the beginning of that chapter. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. And from his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before his ears. Hallelujah. You hear all of that. He is my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's my shield, my stronghold. One of the things I hear a lot when people are talking to me about different things that they're going through, well, probably the most common is something like this. I know what the truth is. I know what I'm supposed to believe. I know I've heard that God is this way. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. And that's always followed with, but, and in some form, someone will say, it doesn't work for me. I know what the right thing to do is, but that doesn't work for me. And I'm telling you, I fight that battle in my own heart too. But our God is a very personal, customized deliverer. He knows exactly what your enemies are. And every one of us has enemies. I hope when I ask you, Who are your enemies? What are your enemies? I hope you don't have names and faces coming to mind. Okay? We don't have those. We don't have names and faces come to mind as enemies, because everyone on this planet is either a brother and sister in Christ or one that he's calling. Right? So we don't have people who are enemies, but we have enemies. Most of that lives inside. We experience that. We have temptations and struggles. We have fears and doubts and worries. We have attitudes and pride. These things are enemies of our soul. And I'll tell you what, there is a real enemy, powers and principalities in the spiritual realm, who knows exactly how to play those things on you. There's a customized personal cocktail of temptation and of discouragement and of despair that is set on the table for you every day. Your enemies are very personal, aren't they? Sometimes the worst of our enemies are hurts. Things that we've experienced or things that we're in the middle of now. And we understand, God, why aren't you stepping in? God, what is going on? And out of our pain, that becomes a dominating thing in all of our thoughts. And it begins to erode what we know to be true. And we become disbelieving believers. A lot of times what happens is there's been some hurt in the past long ago. And we just haven't been able to let it go. And I've never walked in your shoes, and you've never walked in mine, but I'm sure that a lot of you have gone through things a lot harder than anything I've ever experienced. But I'll tell you this, that if we hold on to those things, they become a ruthless, powerful enemy, and it's customized right for you. But our deliverer is a personal deliverer. And that's why in Psalm 18 we read, the Lord is my rock. He's my fortress. He's my God. He's my deliverer. He's my strength. He's my stronghold. He's my shield. And in my distress, he answers me. I call to the Lord and he answers me. My cries go to his ears. He's a very personal deliverer. And I want you to say it. I want you to sing it. I want you to think it. I want you to remind yourself of it. God is not just an idea, a theory, a theology. God is not just, for people just doing, good things. And hey, sometimes we have good things, sometimes we have bad things. But he's a personal, attentive, loving deliverer for you. And so don't say, it doesn't work for me. Say, God is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. Say, my rock. My rock, I mean it. Say, my fortress. My fortress. Say, my deliverer. My shield. My strength. My stronghold. Something you need to say to yourself frequently. He's not just a personal deliverer, he's a powerful deliverer. We just read that powerful, emotional, overwhelming response, that ferocious response from heaven. But look what happens next if you go to the next verse or two in verse 17. I love this. He says, he rescued me from my enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. I'm very glad that's in there. I want to assure you that we are not talking about whistling in the dark or playing games or just trying to keep an attitude that's, okay. God understands that our enemies are too powerful for us. And I appreciate so much the honesty of Scripture here that just lays that out, what we all know. My enemy's too strong for me. My enemy's too powerful for me. You remember when the Israelites came to the Red Sea? They had escaped Egypt through God's hand, and they were there, and then all of a sudden they're stuck at the sea, and Pharaoh and all of his armies are coming down, and they see that, and what do they say? They say, they're just in a total panic, and they say, it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. And so out of being intimidated by the power of that enemy, they went into a panic, and in that panic they said, it would be better for us to serve them. And my friends, that's exactly what we see happening sometimes in our own struggles. We're intimidated by the power of our enemies. And we say, it would be better for me to just serve that enemy than for me to die here and now. But what did God say through Moses? He said, do not be afraid. Your God is neither constrained by armies nor oceans. Our God will fight for you, is what he says. Our God will fight for you. You need only be still. He will deliver us from our enemies. Our God will fight for you. You need only be still. You have a God who fights for you. And it's not that your enemy isn't powerful. It's not that it's no big deal. It's not even that you can withstand it. You can't. You're right about that. But God can. He's a powerful deliverer. One of the great definitions I've read recently about deliverance is this: the power of one entity overcoming the power of another. That's what we're talking about. The power of one entity overcoming the power of another. So no matter how great your enemy is, and whatever form that takes, the greater that enemy, the greater revelation of God's power working on your behalf. You have a deliverer, and he's a powerful one. And not just powerful over, you know, our circumstances and all of that, but powerful over that tyrant self. In fact, if you were to read, I encourage you to do this later, but verse 20 through 24, you see David saying some pretty shocking things. He says, I've been blameless. You're dealing with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. David is taking the deliverance that he's receiving from God, and he's attributing it in part to the fact that God is treating him according to his righteousness. And you go, really, David? That is something else. We're a little put off by that kind of attitude. But why did God let that stand in his word? Because God is the one who justifies. God is the one who forgives, heals, cleanses, restores, redeems. And if God is he who justifies, who is he who can condemn? So the righteousness that we are given through the blood of Jesus that we just celebrated here is real. It's no joke. The freedom that we have because of the power of the blood in the name of Jesus is real. It's no joke. Being condemnation free, totally forgiven, and given right standing with God is real and no joke through Jesus Christ. And that's why in the end of Romans 7, when Paul is struggling with, I know these things I'm supposed to do, I never do them. The things I don't want to do, I'm always doing them. And he says, who will deliver me from this body of death? And he says, thanks be to God, through my deliverer, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then in Romans 8, he says, thanks be to God, there is now no condemnation and for those who are in Christ Jesus. And no means no. He is a powerful deliverer. And he is able to deliver you from the tyranny of self. He's done it once and for all on the cross. And he will empower you to walk in it daily, if you call on him. And that's what's said in here. I will call on the Lord. I will call upon the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. And he'll deliver me. One more thing. This is kind of where I want to make sure that we end up today. God's a personal deliverer. He's a powerful deliverer. He's a purposeful deliverer. There's this interesting verse, 19. He brought me out into a spacious place. It's kind of an odd thing to say. He brought me out into a spacious place. And then he says, he rescued me because he delighted in me. He rescued me because he delighted in me. What does that mean? Why is he talking about bringing us out into a spacious place? Because God doesn't just deliver us from our enemies, but he delivers us to a spacious place. He delivers us to a place where we can stand and fight and win in his name. We are called to be victorious in Jesus. And he has made a way for us to be victorious in Jesus. He has called us, delivered us with a purpose in mind. He says, I have been rescued. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Does God love me the way I am? Does God just love me for me? Yes, he does. He loves you for who you are. But see, only God, your creator, knows also what he made you to be. He knows what he had in mind when he created you. He knows that he wants to see you conquering in the name of Jesus. He knows that he wants to see the head of the snake, the enemy, crushed underneath your heel. He knows that he wants to see his truth coming out of your mouth. He wants to see your victory over sin. He wants to see you be a conqueror, for you to be a warrior. And he knows that's why he made you. He has that vision in mind. He delights in that. And so he brings you out of from underneath the thumb and the chokehold of the enemy of self. And he puts us in an open space where we can be free to follow Jesus and to be conquerors, victorious in his name. Are you with me on this? I understand we don't all feel like warriors. I get that. Our personalities are different. Our struggles are different. And as soon as we start talking like that, it sounds an awful like a kind of like just a rah-rah, you know, whatever. But you don't know, you know, I don't speak very well, or I get nervous, or this thing's been beating me up, and I've just kind of learned to live with it. You don't know what I've experienced has affected me. And we start to kind of develop this response of what's wrong with us, so that this word might be true for someone else, but not for me. I understand that. I do. I do that sometimes. But either this word is true or it's not. Verse 35 says, "You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great." So however low you feel, or however low you might think of yourself, we have a deliverer who stoops down to get underneath your lowest of low and to pick you up and to make you victorious. He's called you to be a warrior in the kingdom of God. I learned something recently about swords that I've never known before. Aren't you glad that you don't live in a time when these are normal? You know, when you don't see these being carried around all day? I guarantee this, I just got my son's attention. Some of you just woke up right now. I understand. No problem. I see movies with these things in them, and I'm a dude. I love them. They're great. I get excited about this. And we watch a movie like this in our house. I mean, face paint may or may not be involved. But I'll be honest, I'm also really glad I'm watching those movies from my couch. Right? I'm glad I didn't live in a time when these were used all the time. I had to laugh the other day when Pastor Sam was talking about Josiah and how Josiah trusted the Lord and he obeyed. And God's reward was, "I will gather you to your fathers and you will be buried in peace and you won't see this destruction that I'm going to bring." And I'm thinking, man, I don't know how I'm going to die, but whenever that happens, I don't really want to be gathered. You know, like if I have to be gathered after I die, that doesn't sound like a good promise to me. Josiah actually died in battle, so who knows? So in case you're wondering, this isn't mine. I borrowed it from somebody. I called up Nick Droll and I said, "Do you have a sword?" And I told him, "I can't remember if I've seen a sword at your house or if you just have so many man points, I just assume you have one." I want to tell you about the least manly part of a sword that I learned just the other day. From this point to this point. Now that's the tip of the sword, right? I assume that's the part that gets most of the action, right? That's the part that does the work, it would seem. From about the middle up to the point. You know what that's called? It's called the foible. Could you get any more ridiculous? I mean, that's the least manly name I could think of for a sword like this. "I'm going to get you with the foible," you know? Doesn't have a good ring to it. I want you to think about the foible and know this is the stuff that we always say. We say, "God, I don't speak very well. I'm not a very confident person. I've got hurts. I've got issues. I'm not trying to be a warrior. I'm just trying to make it through the day." And we have all kinds of excuses that we give. We say, well, this is what's wrong with me. So maybe it's true for other people, but it's not for me. And we're saying, "I'm a foible." You know, this part to this part, this is the strong part of the sword, and it's called the forte. The forte, which means strength. The forte is what gives the foible its strength. The arm is the deliverer. The strength, the forte, is the gospel. And you might be the foible, but you are wielded by a powerful gospel in the hands of a powerful deliverer. And it is wrong for the church of Jesus to sit on the sidelines because we see ourselves as being weak. It's okay to see yourself as being weak. That's true. It's not okay to sit out because you're attached to the forte, the strong gospel in the hands of a strong deliverer. And so when You're dealing with stuff that just seems like it's never going to end, and you're not sure if you're ever going to make it. Think about Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, headed to the fiery furnace. He said, listen, King, we don't need to defend ourselves against you. Our God is able. The God we serve is able to deliver us from this fire. And he says, even if he does not deliver us from your hand, we will not bow. We will not bow to the idol that you have made. And in they went, and you're sure that as they went, they thought, well, I guess he's not going to. But you know that story. He absolutely delivered them through that fire. So even if you're in the middle of it, and you're thinking, well, I guess he's not going to, you're praying and you're waiting. Don't give up. Deliverer is not just God's job description, it's his name. And he is the I am who I am. He's no joke. Can I pray with you? God, I pray that you would help us to let go.